Welcome to Psychopath in Your Life. This is episode number 14. I'm your host, Diane Emerson. I'm the author of the book, Psychopaths in Our Lives, My Interviews, which is available now on Amazon and iBooks. Today, I'd like to continue on with the subject of gaslighting. I started talking about gaslighting in episode 12 and 13, so now we're at 14. So if you're just joining in, I would really recommend you start off with episode number 12 to get as much information, and it will become very apparent to you in just a few minutes here. So what I'd like to do is just first rehash a little bit about what gaslighting is, and this is from our friends at Wikipedia. Gaslighting is a form of mental abuse in which information is twisted, spun, selectively omitted to favor the abuser, or false information is presented with the intent of making victims doubt their own memory, perception, and sanity. See, that's where we get the crazy part. And so the reason I want to keep talking about this is because it really ties together with how people get down that rabbit hole and how they have this feeling of being crazy, but people around them become convinced that they're crazy. So it's really quite a phenomenon. So to give you some insight into this, I'd like to start off with a quote from Bill in my book. He was more of a corporate psychopath. And so let me talk about what Bill said. Okay, let me try my Bill voice. Bill says, "You hit the proverbial nail on the head with your comment about planting information. This is my golden goose. As for gaslighting, I honestly have never heard the term. I had to look it up. After reading the definition, I would say it is a tool I use daily. It is amazing to me how moldable memory really is." Moldable is what he's talking about. So how he can mold your memory. So he continues on. "If you trust me enough, and I'm convincing enough, you will remember an event as I told you it happened. You will even defend my version as the absolute truth. Even better, you will be outraged at the injustice that even put me under and rise to my defense. This compiled with ideas planted around, and I am now in the position to become the hero. I can save the agency from the looming disaster that no one saw coming. Better yet, I can save the agency from the looming disaster that the guy in the office I want is causing." Pretty scary thoughts, huh? And he goes on to give some pretty clear examples of what he did to a couple of people in his office. So what he's talking about is the whole essence of gaslighting, and it's to really start to mold and bend your mind, to start thinking the way that they want you to, kind of a Svengali kind of a thing, where they want to actually start to teach you to only understand and feel the things they want you to do. So there's a lot of things that go along with this. And what they'll do is they'll tell blatant lies. And, you know, you may even know it's an outright lie. But they're telling you this with a straight face. So why are they so blatant? Well, once they can tell you a huge lie, you're not even sure if anything they say is true. It also starts to keep you unsteady and off kilter as a goal. Lying is an interesting thing to me because Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi guy, he was, you know, the head of the PR for Hitler. And one comment that he made, a pretty famous quote was, "If you tell a lie often enough and with enough conviction and whatnot, pretty soon everybody will believe your lies." And he was basically, you know, probably one of the first people to really acquire gaslighting on a global level. So then they will even deny they ever said anything, even if you have some proof. And so you start to tell yourself, well, how do you get in a situation like that? Well, you've gotten in this situation because you're a caring, kind person. So even though you feel a little stunned that they're denying that something you have proof, they just have a lot of ways to dismiss you over the ding. And you know that they said they would do something. You know you heard it. But they out and out deny it. So it makes you start questioning your reality. Maybe they never said that thing. And the more they do this, the more you question your reality and start accepting theirs. So it starts in a very minuscule, tiny, I can't express this enough, very tiny way. But they use what is near and dear to you as ammunition. So, for example, they know how important your kids are to you. And maybe they know how important your identity is to you. So these may be some of the things they attack first. If you have kids, they may tell you that you never should have had those children. Same way, maybe they might tell you about that about your pets. They will tell you you'd be a worthy person if only you had a long, if you didn't have a long history of negative traits. So what they're poking you with is telling you that you would be okay, but you're really kind of a negative person. So they start to point out some of these traits they picked up on. And how do they find out about these traits? Well, that goes back to previous episodes, starting with episode 1, where they start to do the information gathering. So they're learning about all the things you may talk about as far as being negative traits. And now at this point, when they start the gaslighting, they can start to use those things that you have given to them in confidence, and they will use them to turn on you and attack the foundation of your being. So what happens is they wear you down over time. So that's one of the insidious things about gaslighting. It's done so gradually, a lie here, a lie all there, a snide comment every so often, and then it starts ramping up. But this really, remember, this stage could take for a very long time because this is part of the grooming. This is why they spent all that time gathering information about you. So, you know, even the most brightest, the brightest and most self-aware people can be sucked into ramping up and gaslighting. It's that effective. It's really the frog in the frying pan analogy. The heat is turned up slowly, so the frog never realizes what's happening to it. So you will just sit there and keep taking it, because remember, it started with the little lies and that led up to the bigger lies. So they're testing you along the path to see how you accept those first little lies. But if you start to pay attention, or even in retrospect, start to think about this thing, and their actions really don't match their words. For example, if you're dealing with a person who is gaslighting you, look at what they're doing rather than what they're saying. For example, what they're saying means nothing. It's just talk. What they're doing is the issue. And they throw in positive reinforcement to confuse you along the way. So while this person is cutting you down, telling you that you don't have value, they're now praising you for something you did. This adds an additional sense of uneasiness. You think, well, hey, maybe they aren't so bad. Yes, they are. This is a calculated attempt to keep you off kilter, and again, to question your reality. Also, look at what you were praised for. It's probably something that served the gaslighter. They'll use things that you gave them in the information stage to both praise and also to nip at you with negative comments. But they're very small ones. Yeah, they really know what weakens people, because they got the information from you in the first place. That's how gaslighting works. And so they know that people like having a sense of stability and normalcy, but their goal is to uproot this and make you constantly question everything. And humans' natural tendency is to look to the person or entity that will help you feel more stable. And that happens to be the gaslighter. See, by the time they start gaslighting you, they'll have moved you, be moving you into the isolation phase, which we will talk about in great detail in future podcasts. But they also do a lot of projection. What do I mean by that? Well, for example, if they're a drug user or a cheater, you're probably constantly being accused of that. This is done so often that you start trying to defend yourself, and you're distracted from the gaslighter's own behavior. See a catch-22 here. And they will also try to align people against you. And these are normally people in your life, people who you trust and rely on. So gaslighters are masters at manipulating and finding the people they know will stand by them no matter what. And they will use these people against you. They will make comments such as, this person knows that you're not all right. Or this person knows you're useless too. See, it kind of keeps reaffirming what they're trying to get you to believe. So keep in mind that it does not mean that these people actually said these things. A gaslighter is a constant liar. But they're lying with such clever deceit because they're picking together part of the truth to weave into these lies. So there's a thread of truth in there, so it appears like it's a truth, but it's really a lie. So when a gaslighter uses this tactic, it makes you feel like you don't know who to trust or turn to. Yeah, because they have isolated you from people, so that keeps you turning back to the gaslighter. And that's exactly how gaslighting people, the victims, stay with their abuser, which is always a hard thing for people outside of the relationship to understand. You try to talk to them and they're like, well, if they're that bad, why are you sticking around? So, and then once they get you into isolation, that gives you more control. That gives them more control over you. So then they tell you or others that you are crazy. And this is one of the most effective tools. And this is really the one that I heard the most of for all these years, this I'm crazy thing. And he told me I'm crazy. She told me I'm crazy. And they do that because it's a dismissive act. It's a way to dismiss you and to make you feel like you're less than. So the gaslighter knows that if they question your sanity, people will not believe you when you tell them the gaslighter is abusive or out of control. It's really a masterful technique. Because remember, to the outside world, they're showing a very different picture. So when you start to report these things, yes, naturally, it can make you start to feel crazy, but it could also, at this point, start to make you look crazy. So then they might tell you things like everybody else is a liar. So if you do have a few people in your court saying, pointing back toward the gaslighter or the psychopath in this case, they will convince you that everybody else in your family, the media, you know, your work people, whoever you're involved with is a liar. And so here again, it questions your reality. You've never known someone with the audacity to do this. So they must be telling the truth, right? I mean, really, you see some things on the news these days that are so outlandish that really you couldn't write this stuff, but it's true. But it's a manipulating technique. It makes people turn to the gaslighter for the correct information, okay, which isn't correct at all. So the more you're aware of these techniques, the quicker you can identify them and avoid falling into the gaslighter's trap. So at the extreme, what they're trying to do is dominate and control. And the ultimate goal is to control you, dominate, and take advantage of you as an individual or a person, or even a group, or even an entire society. We can look back through history and see some very clear markings of this happening. So by maintaining and intensifying an incessant stream of lies and coercions, the gaslighter keeps the gaslightee in a constant state of insecurity. You're in a lot of doubt. You're in a lot of fear. You really start to question where to turn to. And the gaslighter can exploit their victims at will. And it's all about the gaining of power and personal gain for them. So with that, I'd like to say I'll give you some things to think about. And I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I really do enjoy hearing from all of you, and I do read all of my emails. You can go to psychopathinyourlife.com, which is the same name as this podcast, and email me directly, or select to use the private email box for your communication. And my direct email box is Diane, D-I-A-N-N-E, at Diane Emerson, DianeEmerson.com. You can also find this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Facebook, and YouTube. And also, if you go to the website, psychopathinyourlife.com, there's an audio box there that you can listen to directly if you're not have your whatever equipment you use to listen to podcasts with. So this show is for you, and I look forward to hearing your questions and thoughts. And I would appreciate if you'd support the show. We have a line of inspirational quotes that are available at the website. Quotes, some of my favorite quotes, like "Stop painting red flags white," "Resist psychopaths," and there's just a group of a collection of them which would really help support the show. So be safe out there. I really appreciate it very much if you would subscribe to the show. And I will look forward to talking to you next week. And remember, change begins one breath at a time. And stop painting those red flags white. Goodbye for now.